Good evening, baseball fans. It is Thursday, April 18th. There is no Astros baseball on. Thank merciful God that we don't have to watch this team struggle today. Just tomorrow. That's what we'll do. Anyhow, this is Susie. That is Tom. This is Bourbon and Baseball Astros Edition. And away we go. I will give you the rated R warning right now off the top because there will be lots of rated R words, lots of cuss words, lots of four-letter words, maybe some inappropriate adult humor. I don't know, maybe some dark humor, probably some dark humor, jumping off buildings and whatnot. So with that, if there's any tiny ears listening that you don't want listening, maybe put some earmuffs on them or save this for another time. Or you put some earbuds, earphones, earmuffs, headphones, earmuffs. No, adults don't need to put the earmuffs on. They need to listen to the podcast. However you listen to the podcast with the ear things, do that and then put the earmuffs on the children. With that, we're going to talk about this team that is apparently on a losing skid, 6-12, which is apparently the worst start.
13
of this since 2013.
No, I think it's 6-13.
6-13. Okay, so I'm preemptively putting another loss in the L column, is what you're telling me.
No, you took one away.
I said 6-14.
You said 12.
I said 14.
Maybe it's on wax. Either way, it's bad. It's so bad.
Okay, so maybe then you need to get the earmuffs out of your ears, Tom. Good night. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, guys, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the team. I don't know what happened to the team. No, I take it back. I know what happened to the team. The baseball gods don't like cocky fucking bitches, and they said, "See that right there? The whole." Oh, if the Astros have the lead in the 6, 7, 8, 9, she's going to shut it up. Game's over. Baseball God said, fuck all y'all. Fuck all of y'all. This is what we're going to do. I don't make the rules. Baseball gods, they make the rules. And they said, no, we are not about that. And so I think what they're thinking is that they want to make the epic comeback just a little bit more epic. And so they got to drive the drama and just really get us all down in the dumps first before that insane trajectory that just...
How does that sound again?
That's until it explodes. That's what's going to happen, apparently, on the last episode of Bourbon and Baseball, All the Balls edition that I recorded with Kelsey that none of you have listened to because I haven't put it out yet. I was talking about all of the superstars, essentially, of the teams that are just doing poorly. So it's not just us, guys. Okay, it's not just us. Just know that there are some superstars out there that are not pulling their weight on their team either, and their fan bases are melting down about it as well. So just know, it's not an insular case. However, in the case of the Cardinals, Paul Goldschmidt is still rocking some badass defense over there. Unlike our first baseman that is not.
Would it matter to you, though? For everyone that's after Jose Abreu for the error that he made, would it change his batting average for you? Would it change your opinion if he'd have made that play? They were going to lose that game anyway. I'm just saying. I get it. I'm with
you. But it's not just that. It's not just that one, though. There have been multiple
true
errors in the games. And again, it's not just him.
Exactly.
Like his hit are magnified. There's an E word that apparently my brain was thinking of, but magnified is the word that I was looking for. Thank you. Because of his poor performance. Did you know that you can have a negative OPS, Tom?
Only Jose Abreu has taught me that this year.
A negative OPS. A negative 25 OPS. That is what Jose Abreu, 37-year-old Jose Abreu, is rocking. So I don't know. I don't know at this point what we're going to do with Jose Abreu. And someone on Twitter, actually our friend Jeff Belke from the Believe in Astros podcast, had put on Twitter that Joey Loprofito has a 30% K rate. And that's just unacceptable as an MLB big leaguer. And I'm all, essentially, that's what Jose Abreu is doing currently. So what are we doing here? If Joey Loprofito is going to strike out, that's fine. But when he makes contact, that pitch is going out the fucking stadium. Give it to me. I will take that versus whatever the fuck Jose Abreu is doing right now. And I feel so bad. I feel very poorly about my bad feelings towards Jose Abreu. But I'm also very mad at some other players on this team, i.e. this motherfucker over my shoulder. Chaz McCormick, I'm looking at you, sir. What the fuck? Did we just forgot how to hit right-handed pitching? Just all of a sudden, what happened? We're going up to the plate, swinging it low and away sliders, pretending we're Jeremy Pena from last season. Is that what we're doing, Chaz? I just need to be clued in on what's happening. Because I will always be a Chaz stan. I will do the Chaz chomp. But I need to know if you're only going to be good against left-handed players, sir. Just let me know. That's fine. Also, is Mauricio Dubon our new center fielder? I'm asking honestly, like legitimately. Is Mauricio Dubon our new center fielder?
I would say that he could be, but he's not supposed to be. I don't think there was a scenario where Doobie was supposed to be the guy. He was supposed to be the ultimate utility guy, the Swiss Army knife. He was going to be able to play multiple positions and give everybody a day off. However, he has become really hard to leave out of the lineup because he's producing where other guys are not.
Alex Bregman, I'm looking at you, sir. What the fuck? What are we doing, Alex Bregman? I guess flip-flopping him in the lineup, I think we were right, Tom. I think moving him down to the cleanup man really fucked with his brain and really put some undue pressure on him. And he's like, nope, can't. Too much pressure here. I don't know what to do. I can't. He was popping up. He was taking one pitch at bat. What are you doing? This is not the Alex Bregman that we know, that we have been accustomed to. And then the last game against the Braves, Joe Espada's, fuck it. Okay, Alex Bregman, to the three spot you go. And now, magically, all of a sudden, he's working at bats. Motherfucker drew three walks. Three walks. Come on. Oh, okay. That's sure. Great. I love that. What are we doing?
I think spring training really hurt a lot of people with respect to Alex Bregman. Is notoriously a slow starter. This is not new. Alex Bregman, to start a season, the last three or four seasons has been us waiting for him to be the guy that we know he can be. And what we should have been doing is not taking what he did in spring training and going, oh, Reggie's going to pop off. It's a contract year. This is a different dude. We should have said, that was nice, but we know what Alex Bregman is in April and probably, or March and April, and maybe even into May. I don't know. I feel like he's getting closer. When he starts taking walks, when he starts hitting the ball the other way, that's when you know Reggie's right. And I don't think he's that far from that. It's just, if we thought that we were going to get a different Bregman to start the season, we were fooling ourselves into believing we thought we knew better because it was contract year Bregman. I think if Bregman would have came out hot, it probably would have solved a lot of these problems. I think when you look at the Astros, they're just so close. They lead the league in hits. They lead the American League in hits. And they just don't score.
You know what
runs.
Hits don't equal, though? They don't equal fucking runs. Like, I don't give a fuck that we lead the league in hits. That does not help our record of 6-43.
Right. Okay. When you don't hit the ball and you don't lead the league in hits, you're definitely not scoring runs. So it's not a question of certain guys not putting the ball in play and them not having runners in scoring position. It's being able to convert that. And I think,
dude, at this point, I would almost rather not have fucking hits. At least then we could be like, we could point to a fucking problem and be like, let's go try and solve that. When the bases are loaded and you have one out or no outs and you come away with that shit with either no runs, which we are fucking notorious for, or a run, I would like to bash my head through a fucking wall. Tell me how, with runners in scoring position, we can just drive some of the... Does Yordan Alvarez need to get hit every fucking time in order to fire us up? Tell me what's going to help the team, Tom. Look into the crystal ball and tell me.
So, please. For me, I believe the way to fix this team is probably to fuck with the lineup, and I hate it. But it's not what you think. I don't want to move Yordan Alvarez. If anything, I'm probably moving Jeremy Pena up because whatever he's doing is it's not stopping. So maybe this change for him is legit. And I would maybe like to see him move up. Yiner's starting to cool off a little bit. And it's hard for me because cooling off is still like 300, but he was like 500 for 3 weeks. So it's going to suck. I think that they need better. They need to be better in every facet right now because they're not good enough to just rely on that offense. So if they need to play small ball with the bases loaded and manufacture runs instead of going, oh, we're going to get a big inning because we have the bases loaded and nobody out or one out, then I think that's what they need to do. I think the other thing that is more critical that I think people don't want to hear is they played some of the best teams in baseball to start the season. And while you can say they beat good teams and play shitty teams bad, I feel like when you look at the league leaders, it's all teams that the Astros have played. So they're fixing to play the Nationals. They're fixing to play the Cubs. They're fixing to play the Rockies and then get healthy real quick.
So in between each of one of those series is a day off. The days off that we did not get at the beginning, we get all now. Whoever made the schedule was like, oh shit, we didn't give the Astros days off. Like, we should probably do that. And then just sprinkle the... Now, granted, yes, we did play some good teams. But at no point in time are you thinking that we're going to look at this stretch and end with a 6-13 fucking record. In anyone's mind, were the Yankees going to fucking, besides Yankee fans, you don't fucking count, actual legitimate people that know baseball, were you thinking that the Yankees were going to sweep us? No. Real fans are going to be like, I'd say probably a split, right?
Wait, okay. Susie, where are these games played at?
Okay, so just because the Mexican grandmas didn't put the fucking Vicks wherever they needed to, that's not on me, okay? We got to call all of the grandmas now. Is it just the Mexican grandmas, or do the Puerto Ricans do it? Do the Dominicans do it? I need to know. Because I know the Asians do it. Like, we can unite specifically on this and just Vicks for everyone.
What's crazy to me is I think it's in the players' heads now. I think they know they play bad at home, and they press at home. The offensive numbers are better on the road. It's dumb. They just cannot hit in Minute Maid Park. And as much as you want to say it's the batter's eye, tell that to the other teams that are absolutely raking.
No, I can't do that because they have the OHO or whatever it is. I don't even know. Okay. They have whatever it is that is working for them.
I feel like, honestly, I think they need to be booed once or twice. On the road, they get booed. They beat the brakes off.
They get booed.
Yes.
Fucking mercilessly.
Yes. And it's almost, okay, I can deal with that. At home, the place is rocking. Everybody's on their feet, loud, and it just, they nut up. I don't know what else to do. I'm just saying.
I'll boo Jake Myers. No, I don't even want to do that.
See, if you want to boo the Astros to get the response, you should be rooting for Jose Abreu to be in the lineup because you could legitimately boo him.
Listen, I genuinely, I know people are like, I don't know if this is actually true, but I am genuinely a nice fucking person. Like,
people are like, I don't know if that's true. I don't believe that.
That legit, I never intentionally want to hurt people's feelings. I unintentionally hurt people's feelings. I never go into a situation wanting to hurt somebody's feelings. I just am a crass bitch and don't know the power of my own words. That's neither here nor there. So I legitimately feel bad when I know that my actions are going to hurt somebody else's feelings. I don't like that. I don't like booing our own players. But if it's going to get them going, shit.
I'm saying that 100% joking. At no point am I advocating for people to go into Minute Maid Park and boo these Astros. I really think the schedule sucked. 20 games in 21 days is shit, and it should not be that way. There's no reason for it. And this is an older team with older players who've played a shit ton of baseball over the last 7 years because they're always winning, and now they've got to play all the games right out the gate. Yeah. I think the schedule has hoed them. I think over time, some days off, some reinforcements, the Astros will be fine. I know people are like, the sky is falling, sell the team, I'm done, I'll see y'all next season. I've seen it all on Twitter. Twitter is a great place to see people just absolutely melt down. For a people watcher like myself, it is great to bookmark the random ass tweets of all these people that are just losing their shit. For me,
listen, I want to lose my shit. That's emotional Susie. Realistic Susie is bitch, shut up. Okay. We'll be fine. But then emotional Susie is like, but what if we're not? What if Jose Abreu doesn't turn it the fuck around? What if Chaz McCormick legitimately can't hit right-handed pitching? What if Mauricio Dubon ends up being your center fielder every fucking day? Oh my God. What if Jake Myers can't find a helmet that fits his fucking head? All of these things compound into this whole ball of issues and then leads me down a dark path of irrationality. And sometimes we got to let that bitch out so that she doesn't fester. That's what needs to happen.
Well,
the rational Susie will be here sometime to rein her in, maybe. We'll see.
I know I'm the rational, optimistic one all the time. That's not changing. I've just been watching
Don't get it twisted. I will be here. I will be watching the games, but I will be bitching. I will be bitching because I know, because I have high standards for the fucking team. And that's another thing. Why can't I have high standards for a fucking team and then be mad when those motherfuckers aren't reaching their potential?
They're people.
Why can't
too.
I be mad about it?
They're people
I don't
too.
Fuck. They get paid a lot of fucking money to do a goddamn job.
True. True.
So why can I not be upset when they're not?
You're entitled to fan however you want. For me, I know personally, I hope nobody looks at me the same way if I have a bad day or 2 weeks. I feel like the season is 162 games. If you're done after 20 of them, holy shit, that's a small chunk of 162.
Listen, I was raised with an Asian mom, So I know all about failure and small sample sizes. And there's nothing that anyone can say to me because I was raised with an Asian mom. So like the opinions of strangers, I don't give a fuck. So maybe all the players need to have Asian moms to give them some emotional trauma early on in life to toughen them up. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But that upsets me because, you know, while yes, they are a human being and I realize that they're not robots, they get paid to do this job, which is a game, which ultimately is a form of entertainment. So then let the motherfuckers have fun. And I feel like that may be a part of the game here, especially in the Astros organization, that is missing. And I don't know who needs to change that or how that needs to be changed. You look at the Orioles, and I realize that's a younger team. But you just look at them. You see them in the fucking dugout, and they're having fucking fun. They got the fucking homer hose, and they got fucking celebrations. The fucking Tigers have a goddamn pizza on a trident. It's not a trident, but it's something. I don't even understand that whole reference, but that's fucking fun as shit. We need something to bring back that fucking spark, or I don't know.
Yeah, but see, here's another
bench clearing brawl.
Here's the thing that differs between those teams and the teams you're talking about in the Astros. The expectations on those teams are not what they are in Houston. Do the Dodgers look like they're having any fun right now? They spend $11 billion to assemble a mega squad, and they're getting their asses handed to them. And
they got Kike Hernandez fucking dancing in the goddamn dugout.
Didn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Like, when the expectations are uber high, when it's World Series or bust, like it is in Houston, like it is in LA, like it is in New York, there's only so much fun they can have if they're not winning. Now, when those teams are winning,
the Yankees dugout is literally barking at each other. Okay.
Yeah. A week ago they were. And then they lost what? 4 out of 5 or some shit like that. And now their fans are coming for them too. Same. Giancarlo Stanton has a game where he leads them on a comeback and that's good. And then the next game, it's like, all he's doing is over here striking out. What the fuck? Like, it's so bad. Fans are some of the most unruly people on the planet. They have the utmost expectations and they have no realizations. Those guys are only going to be successful. I appreciate
you talking about me like that, Tom.
I'm just saying in general. They are going to fail 70% of the time. The Hall of Famers are going to fail 70% of the time. And then the other ones are going to fail 100 times more than that. And I don't know.
Listen, I can't fucking help it. Our tiny majestic king over here has a OPS plus of 230 and is just showing up fucking everybody. Okay. I can't help that he's literally putting the entire fucking team on his back. He's like, guys, come on, let's go. Okay. I can't help that his Jose Altuve's slash line fucking now is stupid. It's so dumb. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. His batting average is .388. His on base is .462. His slug is .675 and his is an .1137.
And what's going to happen?
1.137.
And what's going to happen? He's going to have 2 weeks where he struggles in probably like June. He's going to run into an out and people are going to come for Jose Altuve and forget all the shit he did in April and May.
Altuve giveth and Altuve taketh away. I need you guys to remember this. When he tries to stretch a single into a double and he gets thrown out halfway in between first and second. We'll clip this and we'll just remind you. Do you know who has the second lowest OPS plus on this team? Tom.
You're going to tell me it's Chaz McCormick?
I am going to tell you it's Chaz McCormick.
Talk to your boy.
I would love to. That just...
And look, I understand. We feel like he's playing out of position. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe his OPS plus when he plays center is 100 points higher or some dumb shit like that. Baseball is a weird game. Guys are so territorial and spooked and have all these things that it has to go a certain way or they don't play well. Superstitious. Super superstitious.
He's walking, at least. Technically, he's third on the team because Altuve and Yordan both have 10 walks apiece.
That's more impressive, if you ask me, that Altuve is hitting at that clip and leading the team in walks. The most free-swinging dude on the team. One of the team leaders. But yeah. The most free-swinging dude on the team, and he's taking walks. And he's 30.
34.
34. Thank you.
34, yeah. Ener Diaz, shout out, has walked 6 times. And we said last season, motherfucker's not drawing walks because he's pressing, because he wants to actually play. And he thinks if he does something, he's going to play. Yiner, sir. Nothing you could have done last season was going to get you playing time. Unless you, I don't know, magically morphed into Martin Maldonado.
Can't tell a guy that, though. He was thinking, one play and I could be on the field all the time. And for us, we banged that drum all season long. And this is the realization of that. I love what he's doing. I think it is something that this team is going to need Yiner to maintain his level. And I know it's unfair because a team with Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez should not need your 24, 25-year-old basically rookie to maintain this like all-star clip for them to be successful, but he's going to have to. He's going to have to.
But even with Jose Abreu pushed down to the 8 spot, he's still coming up with runners in scoring position because this team is so damn good. And again, if I didn't expect so much, I wouldn't be so mad. So basically what I'm trying to tell myself is that I should expect nothing out of the team. And then when they do good shit, then I'm like, ooh, look how good they're doing. That's what needs to happen.
No, you need the middle. You don't need to go full the other way. Like everybody's expectations are up here, right? World Series busts. So they have to win every game. They have to go 162-0. If they lose, the sky is falling. I'm just saying, hey, bring it back down to an 88-90 win range and you'll be fine. Knowing that this team is going to lose 70 times and be okay with it, and that's a playoff team, will help you get through your...
I don't expect 162-0. We just don't expect to be the runner-up to the fucking A's in the AL West.
Susie, we were division watching 4 games in.
Don't care. I don't give a fuck.
We were standings watching 4 games in. You can't say that.
I don't give a fuck. That's what I'm going to do because we are down here in the fucking dumps with the goddamn Marlins and the Chicago White Sox and the Cardinals. Like everybody predicted in the offseason. See? Baseball gods don't like it. Baseball gods said, nope, that cocky bitch over there that says AL West runs through Houston, that one? No, absolutely not. We're going to humble that one. We're going to humble that one. And we're just going to make everybody in the AL West better than the Houston Astros for a little bit. Hey, so Angels, I'm looking at you.
What was that last part? For a little bit. What's the division leader? What is the current record of the division leader in the AL West, Susie?
I don't know. They won today. So are they 500 now?
If they're not 500, they're one game over. Literally no one is running away with this division.
Listen, I understand that it's fucking stupid that we have done all of the losing at this point in time. And we're still only...
5 games back.
5 games back. So they're 11-9. Okay? That's fine. That's fine. I'm not mad about it at all. There's no salty anything in my voice. This is just my voice and also just my face. Angels and Mariners are tied. Oakland has won 3 series in a row. That's the first time they've done that since 2021. Congratulations, Oakland A's. I am actually very proud of you. And I realize that I'm saying that in the same voice that I was saying that I wasn't salty. I am actually proud of you, though. Oakland A's, because legitimately, I actually like your team. I just am salty about my team. Very salty about my team. The Boston Red Sox are 500 and they're last in their division. Huh? That's funny. Listen, it hurts my heart. It hurts my pride. And I need everybody to know that Justin Verlander is coming back on Friday and going against Mackenzie Coore. And the Nationals are going to win that game 1-0 because no. We're not going to give Justin Verlander any run support.
Do you know why they're not going to win? Because it's in Washington. If it was in Houston, I would agree. In Washington, they're going to score 6 runs. It's going to be 6-3, and JV's going to give 3 runs up over 6 innings.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I hope you're right. I hope that this road trip...
It's exactly what they need. They need to be booed. They need to be treated like shit, and we're not going to do it. So guess what? They're going to go to Washington and get it, and they're going to go out there and play well. And probably, in my opinion, they should win that series. Texas is going to Atlanta, who is an absolute wagon, and they're going to have to deal with them in Atlanta.
Interesting. That'll be a fun watch. I don't want either one of those teams to win. No, I take that back. I want the Braves to win.
I do too.
I want Matt Olson to do all of the things. I need Matt Olson to start hitting home runs. What the fuck, Matt Olson? I'm mad at you. Looking ahead, there is Mackenzie Coore Friday going against JV. Then there is, I looked this up before we started, and then Ronel Blanco versus Trevor Williams. Williams apparently doing a decent job this season. He's got a 2-0 record with a 3.45 ERA. Then Sunday will be CJ versus Parker. I have no idea who that is, so let's look him up. Maybe.
You want more
reason? Mitchell Parker. Do I want more reason what?
To be optimistic about this road trip?
Sure.
The Nationals are 8-10. Do you know what their record is at home? They are 2-4 at home and 6 on the road.
Ooh.
They are clearly not a home team either.
All right. So let me read you what Mitchell Parker apparently has done in one start. And his first start was against the Dodgers. FYI, the Nats just beat the Dodgers in a series for people that don't follow any other teams. So Parker earned the win Monday in the National 6-4 win over the Dodgers, allowing 2 runs on 4 hits and no walks while striking out 4 batters over 5 innings. And that was his first major league debut. So while Josiah Gray is on the 15-day IL, Mitchell Parker will be slotted in. So we shall see how he does. Let's see what Trevor Williams and how he's been doing this.
They did that in LA.
Trevor Williams, let's see, did not factor into the decision, allowing 3 runs on 6 hits and 1 walk over 5.1 innings. During Sunday's loss to Oakland, he struck out 7. Oh, look at you, Trevor Williams, striking out 7. It's the A's, but whatever. Williams held a 6-1 lead entering the bottom of the 6th, but allowed 2 of 3 runners facing the inning to reach prior to being pulled. He then sat by as he watched the bullpen allow both inherited runners to score, plus an additional 4 more that provided the winning 1-run margin for the Athletics. So apparently bullpen, not a great bullpen for the Nats. So players to watch out for. You guys are not familiar with CJ Abrams. Get familiar, because I guarantee you he is going to be running all of the bags, just all of them. I was really upset that I did not see any clips of Yiner Diaz throwing out runners. Were they not epic? I was only able to listen to the game, and so I didn't hear it.
The one where he threw out Acuna, they initially called him safe and it was challenged and overturned.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. I think it's just a national thing. You probably should have seen it. Yiner's electric back there.
Okay, so then I guess I'm gonna just have to go and look for it, because I legitimately did not see any clips of Yiner throwing people out, and I'm all, oh, why not? I was very confused. Okay. Let's see. The Nationals, their shortstop CJ Abrams will run just everywhere on us. Jesse Winker is their DH. Lane Thomas is their right fielder. And start off hot has cooled off, though. So we'll see what he does. They also have a Luis Garcia Jr. That's a second baseman for them, not our Luis Garcia. They have big old Joey Gallo at first base. Nick Senzel, who is the third baseman, came over from the Reds. Eddie Rosario, familiar name, left fielder from the Braves. Riley Adams as their catcher. And then Jacob Young as their center fielder. Players that... Jesse Winker is on a tear. I think he's going to cool off, though.
You got it all wrong. Yeah. Players that can hurt us are Jose Abreu, Alex Bregman, Chaz McCormick, and Mauricio Dubon in center field.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong there, sir. Good job. I'm trying to see if I know any of their... bullpen. Derek Law, Tanner Rainey, Matt Barnes, Dylan Floro, Robert Garcia, Jordan Weems, excuse me, Hunter Harvey, and Kyle Finnegan. Kyle Finnegan apparently is their closer. I don't have a clue.
Hope the Astros never see him.
Let's hope. Let us hope. Dylan Floro came over from the Rays. Oh, Matt Barnes came over from Boston. Fingers crossed that we can get right with the Nats. Let's see, Chicago. They probably don't have pitching matchups for Chicago yet.
No, but I would imagine it would be Hunter. If you think Arrigetti's going to get another start, you might see Framber by then. And that would be...
They optioned Arrigetti, though, to bring JB.
But by then, I'm sure they could bring him back if they wanted to.
So then who would that push down?
Probably a reliever that they brought up. A Forrest Whitley type.
I thought Forrest Whitley got optioned, though. Whitley got optioned.
Oh, I don't know that.
I'm almost positive. I'm almost positive Forrest Whitley got optioned. I say that. Just sworn us a tweet from Chandler Room about it. I'm trying to think of who they... Let's see. Yeah.
Do you know who has the highest run differential in baseball?
The highest run differential?
All the teams.
The Guardians.
The Kansas City Royals.
That was my next guess.
They are plus 40. So when you look at all the teams that the Astros have played in the span of 3 weeks, you have division leader, a team that is one game over 500 in probably the toughest division in baseball, and the team with the highest run differential in all of baseball. A big deal.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Yeah, so Spencer Arrigetti option to the minors on the 16th. Forrest Whitley option to minors on the 18th. Justin Verlander activated from the 15-day IL on the 19th. So probable starters for the Cubs series: Hunter Brown, JP France, Justin Verlander.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And so Justin Verlander will face off with Shota Imanaga. And you want to talk about a fucking pitching duel.
Are you getting that one, or are you getting one of the other ones?
I'm getting Hunter Brown versus Jordan Wicks.
That could be good. Hunter rebounded very well.
Hunter did rebound really well. And that was another fucking thing that pissed me off about the Braves series. It wasn't the starters this time. All of our starters did fucking wonderfully.
And that's been the season. The season has been all about different parts of the club not performing, but not together. Like, on a day when the friggin' rotation is ass, they would hit a little bit. On the day when the rotation was good, the bullpen would struggle. On the days when the bullpen and the rotation would be lights out, the offense would struggle. And they just haven't been able to get two of the three units together on the same day.
It will all start clicking. Maybe. Hopefully.
Except for the Ronel. No. That day, everything was clicking.
Everything was clicking. God, that was beautiful. Thank God for Ronel Blanco, man. The literal bright spot in this fucking hot dumpster fire mess of a season so far. I say this. I'm staring at Fangraphs in the AL West standings with the win-loss, win percentage, game back, and then the percentage projection for winning the division and making the playoffs. They still have the Astros. They still have the Astros with the highest percentage of winning the division. And it's not close. And it's not the Rangers that's the closest to us. It's the Mariners that's the closest to us. They have the Astros winning the division at 39.2%. And then they have the Mariners winning it at 30.7%. And the Rangers winning it at 22.4%. Making the playoffs, Astros 59.4%. Mariners 50%, Rangers 40.9%.
And if I promise you, if you polled Astros Twitter right now, they wouldn't give you the same fucking numbers, and that's their team. Fangraphs has no dog in that fight. And if you ask them, okay, give me who you think's doing what here, they would not vote that. That's horrible. Like, Vegas still has them to win 88 games. And Vegas is, yo, we want you to not root for them. We want you to take this under. They're like making it to where you can take. I'm just telling you, I'm not ready to do all the things, especially if we get a solution at first base that isn't Jose Abreu. Because I really, as much as I would love to, because I was one of the guys that was championing that pickup, as much as I would love to think that there is a way for him to get back, I just feel like he is not going to figure that out anytime. Just not. I hope I'm wrong.
So this is year two of that contract.
Correct. There's one more year remaining. There were people that said Montero couldn't get back either. And he's been fucking nails.
Jim Crane, you gotta fucking eat the contract.
you don't want to touch that.
Look, if the Diamondbacks can fucking DFA Madison Bumgarner and eat that fucking contract, the Houston Astros can eat Jose Abreu's contract, because there are so many more expectations on this fucking team than there were on the Diamondbacks. And Diamondback said, let's go. No one fucking expects us to do shit, but this cannot keep happening. He did that with two players. Two. He ate that fucking contract for two different players. Jim Crane, mount up, sir.
I think that is an interesting conversation going on in the halls of the Astro organization. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that, because I feel like you probably have Dana Brown over here going, yeah, let's do that. And you probably have Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell over here going, now we can't do that, because that was our move. We made that without him. It has to work. Otherwise, we don't validate us. We validate him.
The fact that there is a committee of retired players that is sitting on the shoulders of Jim Crane, sensually whispering into his ear sweet nothings of, he's the player on the back of the baseball card.
We have to stop saying that. You can't say it because I don't want them to say it. I don't want to hear that ever again.
Trust me, it's this season's intangibles. It came over. We got rid of intangibles, and apparently we had to keep the fucking player on the back of the fucking baseball card.
I heard a spotter say it the other day, and I was like, gosh, Joe, don't do it. Don't do it, Joe.
Dana Brown fucking said it. Dana Brown fucking said it. And I'm all, Dana, I know that deep down you don't fucking feel this way. I know. Okay? He cannot feel this way. That he cannot be the same guy that found fucking Tyler Matzik playing indie ball, going to Alex Anthopoulos saying, you need to fucking sign this guy. I have a good, can't be. He can't fucking be. Or maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe Dave Brown's, no, that I have faith in him. Like, what?
I don't know. I think that move, because it happened before him, I don't know mm-hmm. I don't know if Dana would have did that. He seems a little bit more savvy with it. I guarantee you he probably wouldn't have paid him as much as they did.
No, absolutely not. Neither one of those moves, Montero or Abreu, like neither one of those moves would have been made. And Jim Crane, you did James Click dirty, man. Just, I don't know what the fuck the personality clash there was or who the fuck he pissed off or what. But you straight up did James Click dirty.
The things that I read was that James Click was more of a frugal GM. And Jim wanted somebody that would make moves and make splashy moves, where Click was never going to do that. Click came from Tampa. He was, hey, we've got to clutch these pearls tight. We're not going to go out there and just recklessly spend this money. Because from what I heard, the real reason that whole thing frayed was at the trade deadline, they wanted to make splashy moves. And Click was like, no, I don't want to do that. And he made moves just for the sake of making them. And that's how you got Christian Vasquez. And that's how you got some guys, when I think Crane wanted Contreras, like really wanted Contreras back then, which obviously would have stunted Diaz's growth. So thank God that didn't happen. But
yeah, but Dusty flat out vetoed that move and basically said that he wasn't going to get the playing time that he needed, especially in a contract year, because he was going to sit behind Martin Maldonado. We looked it up because I laughed and I said that I think that Jose Abreu may be actually worse than Martin Maldonado this season. And he's like a tiny bit, like 1% better, like one tiny animal. That's not even, that shouldn't even be a thing. That shouldn't be a thing. Martin Maldonado is catching for the White Sox and Corey Lee is DHing for that team. You know who I want to sign?
Who would you like to sign?
It doesn't make sense roster-wise. It doesn't make any sense roster-wise. It only makes sense in personality-wise and vibes.
Nobody wanted my vibes pick.
I want Tommy Pham. That's a whole different kind of vibes. I want Tommy Pham. I need some of that fuck you attitude.
Where is Tommy Pham going to play?
Did I not just fucking caveat it with, it will not make sense roster-wise? Did you not fucking hear that part, Tom? Jesus fucking Christ. I literally fucking said, it does not make sense roster-wise. It only makes sense in the sense of vibes.
I heard the name and blacked it out. I'm sorry. Also, Martin Maldonado has 2 hits and 33 at-bats. I just needed to say that.
How many strikeouts?
Ooh, I don't know. He has 12, which is lower than I would have thought. Yeah.
Yeah. How many walks?
1.
Oh. Yeah, Jose Abreu was rocking 17. 17 strikeouts in 16 games.
And for me, the people that are clamoring J-Lo, Joey Loperfido, strikes out too much, I need a piece of them 10 home runs. So that's what I want. If you're telling me I get Joey Gallo, because that's basically what that is.
Right.
I'm taking it. On this team, I'm taking it. I understand you want the plate discipline. I get it. It'd be nice if you had 9 dudes that were up there not striking out a ton. If you're going to give me 1, but be boom or bust, I'm okay with it.
Speaking of boom or bust, that like Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper have just switched bodies somehow, and Kyle Schwarber is just drawing all the walks, and Bryce Harper is slashing 215, 301, and 462. 462 is not bad, but it's not Bryce Harper numbers. Same thing with Aaron Judge. Just all of the superstars are not doing the things. Not doing the things, guys. You know that Paul Goldschmidt has an OPS plus of 50? 50. Paul Goldschmidt. 50. Yeah. His slash line is 190, 292, and 238. Kelsey and I were talking about first basemen that kill our souls.
There are a lot of them.
Paul Goldschmidt is still hitting second or third in that lineup, and he's not getting pushed down. He's not getting pushed down. Nope. Tom, let's wrap up. Tell the people why they should not chant sell the team, that they should not think that the sky is falling.
Do you know what Paul Goldschmidt makes? Yep. Do you know what he has left on his contract? I'm sorry.
A lot of time.
I'm sorry.
A lot of time.
I had to look at it like because you said that, and I'm like, Cardinals fans.
Tell people it could be worse.
It could be worse.
Tell them.
At worst, you're looking at one more season, at worst, of the Jose Abreu experiment. At worst, where Paul Goldschmidt is under contract for 5 more years at $22 million a year.
And how old is Goldie?
He is 7. He's 36. He's 36. He's making $3 million.
41-year-old Paul Goldschmidt over there rocking first base.
I have the contract wrong too. But he's making way more than Jose Abreu to be just as bad. He's making way more.
His defense is still up there. I watched a rocket. A literal rocket. I legitimately did not. The camera didn't even pick it up, Tom. From bat to his glove, they were late on it. And Paul Goldschmidt was just like very nonchalant about them all. Oi. And I was so sad because Jose Abreu had a 2-hit game the other day. When he rocketed to double, and I was like, ooh!
The other way, too. In the gaps.
It was very excited.
It made you think there was hope. But the way his bat speed just looks like he is so late on stuff he should not be late on, I don't know how you fix that. Everybody's saying, oh, his timing. I'm like, I don't know how you get that old dude started any faster than he is. He needs to start swinging before that windup gets going or something.
When you miss an 88-mile-an-hour literal ball.
Middle.
Down the... Just, I'm going to miss it. I'm not paid $40 bajillion a year to fucking hit that.
Fun fact, Paul Goldschmidt went to Texas State.
Yeah, Texas boy. Yes.
So he knows how to party.
Yes. Pickle shots for everyone.
I'm sorry, you were trying to wrap up. My bad.
I don't know. I'm still very, this team makes me sad. I'll climb out of it. But again, I'm the dumbass that ties their emotional well-being to 26 men who don't even know who the fuck I am. So that's on me. That's my problem. Who's the clown?
That's me. I'm here to tell you, though, 9 games from now, 3 series from now, we could be talking about a totally different set of circumstances. These are all 3 series are very winnable. All the pitching lines up well. They're finally going to get some days off. There are so many reasons to go. Relax. The panic button, put the glass back over it. No deal. We're not selling. Keep playing. Oh,
okay. Okay, so what if we get JV back, get Fromber back, and we still aren't winning games?
Then, Susie, we'll have to find something else to do with this time because I don't think you're going to want to talk about it.
Oh, no, I'm going to talk about it, but there will probably be way more screaming and yelling. There will be like Frank the Tank style rants or something. There's going to be something. But honestly, though, at what point can we put away the phrase, the sample size is too small?
I truly think that it all depends on where they sit in the division. Because in the end, whatever the number is, however many games it takes, if they find a way into the tournament known as the playoffs, it doesn't matter. It all starts over. Doesn't matter if they're a wild card team. Shit, we know they play better on the road. You should be rooting for that shit. You know, all you have to do is find a chair before the music stops and the Astros will be fine. They probably would love to be the underdog. Please count them out because that's when Altuve does crazy things. That's when Yordan does crazy things. If anything, if you're an Astros fan and really want to lean into the heel thing, let them squeak in. Let them sneak in. We're so used to them sitting at the top, looking down on all the peasants from our kingdom of Astros. We run this shit and it feels good. But yo, the underdog, the up and coming Astros, that felt good too. Teams going, oh, y'all ain't shit, and then they do what they do. I just know that when you have this much talent, you're not supposed to be left out. It would take something like a major injury for me to really start to panic. Tuve or Yordan or something like that to really start to panic because they're the straw that serves the drink. They get everything going, and they're at the top. I feel like right now you're going to see them eventually pick on some of these teams. They're going to get Colorado. They're going to get Oakland. Although Oakland is trying really hard to sabotage everybody. So I feel like this team will not just go away. They're not just going to go away.
Listen, all I want is for the Astros to put 16 runs on the Rockies. Okay, that's in an inning. That's all I would like. Please and thank you. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. I truly believe in the double digit curse. We don't want that. 9. We'll take 9. That's all I want. 9. Okay. Going back to my Tommy fan point before you were like, where's he going to play? Motherfucker, I said, it doesn't make sense roster wise. Okay. I need some of that fuck you attitude on the bench. I need some of that fire and that machismo, that fucking Carlos Correa, like fucking what time is, I need some of that attitude back on this team because legitimately there is none. None of these players do that. None of them.
I disagree. Tucker gave you that shit when Yordan got hit.
How often does Tucker do that? How often?
Oh, of course. But it's not going to come from, what good is Tommy Pham going to do on the sideline pacing up and down the dugout angry?
That give me a player that has that fuck you attitude that can actually play. And if you say Juan Soto, I will reach through the fucking computer.
It's Alex Bregman. It's Alex Bregman. But he's so checked out in my mind, or he's so concerned with his well-being that he's not that dude right now. You know what I mean? Like his body language screams.
He hasn't been that dude.
I understand. But you ask for a guy on that 9, he's the only guy, in my opinion, that A, has that in him, the underdog mentality, chip on my shoulder. He's that dude. And I feel like he's already been that guy in the past. None of the other guys, it's not in their DNA. You're never going to get that from Yordan. You're never going to get that from, other than the other day, you're not going to get that from Tuck. You really got to do some dumb shit to get it from Tuck. JV will give it to you, but got to get JV healthy. And then he's got to get into it with somebody. He's got to get into it with an umpire. Got to do some Max Scherzer shit, something like that.
Right.
For the team to go, okay, hey, we need to rally behind our boy. Yiner's too young. Pena's, I don't know. He's a nice guy too. I wish he was that guy. Let somebody slide into him at second base covering like a double play. That may get it going. Something like that.
But you see my point though. We need somebody. We need a little bit more of that on. We need a little bit more of that on our team. And as much as like, I hate to admit it, Martin Maldonado had that last season. Fucking, at no point in time do I ever expect Yiner Diaz to fucking post up with to anybody. Now, would he? If shit's going to go down, absolutely. But at no point in time am I expecting Yiner Diaz to like fucking get into Aroldis Chapman. That's not who I wanted to say. Adolis Garcia's face. That's not, I don't think that's him. I think maybe if he got pushed hard enough, he probably would. But give me some Hector Neris fire. Give me some Ryan Stanek fire. But I need that on the position player side. And legitimately, the only guy that I can think of off the top of my head is Carlos Correa. And even he's not healthy now. Thin out the oblique, I think.
It's been a popular
injury. But is there a position player that's not Tommy Pham that could be on the team? Then it doesn't have to work roster-wise. Just give me that attitude.
A guy that I would like, I know it won't happen, but it'd be nice. George Springer in center field.
We're trying to get younger. Why are you putting an old George Springer in center field?
You're looking for the attitude. He'll give you that. George will give you that. George will give you that. There's a meme out there. Go look it up.
When was that meme created?
I'm not here to play historian. You were just asking for names. I gave you a name.
Okay, but as of now, George Springer is going to do that? Because I've seen some of that shit on the Blue Jays, and he's not the first one out there. If anything, it's Vladdy fucking running his mouth and being that guy.
Oh, of course. But we're just talking about hypothetical dudes that could be on this team. And he could actually probably play. Tommy Pham is not ever seeing the field. If you were going to go get somebody, I'd much likelier see that go into center field.
But George Springer doesn't play center field over there because they wanted him to be healthy.
Okay. I understand. I'm not saying it makes sense from the Blue Jays aspect. I'm saying it makes sense from the Astros aspect. Just because they won't play him doesn't mean we could.
Well,
I don't know.
No, because then Jake Myers would be in center field and George Springer would be in left.
Maybe that's the answer. I don't know. You're looking for guys to plug into this team to get spicier attitude. It's going to be really tough because there's nowhere for them to go. Like you want a bench coach to do it. I don't know. It's not their makeup. It really isn't. And it sucks because you want that. You want somebody to be fiery. You want an edge. You want somebody to not necessarily stick it to the other team, but let them know that you're not going to push them around.
Do I want Joe Espada to get thrown out of a game?
You do. You do. You should. The Astros should.
I think I do.
I don't know if he's got that in him either. He doesn't look like he doesn't look like a manager that would ever get thrown out of the game. There's like a group of managers, in my opinion, that might never get thrown out of the game. And if they do, some wild shit had to go down. That had to be really egregious. Like, for some reason,
I saw him last season, but maybe that was his role last season though, so the Dusty didn't get thrown out. Mm-hmm. So Omar needs to get thrown out then. Like, Omar needs to get fired up.
I don't know if they take that seriously though.
Gary Pettis and his windmill arm needs to get fired up. Oh my goodness. I don't know, guys. If you guys can think of a player that has a little bit of that fuck you energy, that little machismo, that fiery attitude, put it in the comments on the YouTube. Tweet it at us. Tell me on Instagram. I don't care. Send me a carrier pigeon. I would love that if you sent me a carrier pigeon with your answer. That would be delightful. Don't actually do that. I wouldn't act like that. Just kidding.
That's a bird just fluttering around your right. garage and like, make it go away.
Yeah, my cats would have a field day with that. With that said, Tom, tell the peoples where they can find you on the interwebs.
At Third Coast Tom on Twitter, as you can see right there. At TCTom1 on Instagram, working at being better with the Instagrams. I normally don't do a lot over there, but trying to do more there. PSF, that's where you'll find us very soon, I believe Sunday, right? Something like that. Next Sunday, maybe? Maybe it's next
Sunday. Sunday, I think.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I promise you, watching a game on the PSF app is the best place you can be if you're not at the ballpark. You're going to have tons of like-minded fans for whatever team. If for some reason you're not an Astros fan watching this, they have every team for you there. For the Astros fans, we have a great group of media casters that are in there constantly from day to day. There's occasionally days where stuff happens. We can't get there, a day game, something crazy. But for the most part, there is someone covering a game every day. And you're going to want to vent. You're going to want to celebrate with somebody, and they are there for you for that. You can get up and be seen, and it's all on the cover of your phone from wherever you want to be. Or you can just voice chat, or you can just text in the little chat box, however you want to get your message across. It's the best way to live tweet a game like people used to do in the past. This is, I think, new and improved, and they've got a bunch of stuff coming out. Can't really release that yet. Just know that I may wager with you at some point, and you may be able to wager back.
I'm still mad that I can't wager two things at one time. I'm mad about it. Anyways, I'm excited about that as well. Again, and if you are a multi-sport person, I don't know, you are insane if you are a multi-sport person, but if you are, they have all of the rooms for all of that too. So Texans apparently are doing a huge rebranding thing. Go talk to the Texans guys. Tom's one of them. Are there more, Tom? I assume there's more.
Yes, there's three teams, or at least there was last year. I imagine it'll get bigger. Last year was the first season for the Texans. As Susie spoke to, new uniforms are coming out next week. Guaranteed to be talking about it in there. It's going to be really exciting. And then the draft right after that. So new players, really excited time to be a Texan fan.
So football, basketball, college basketball, hockey, not soccer apparently, but
I wish I would be there for that.
Yeah. So if you do any of the other sports, go check it out. I can only be crushed by one team at a time ever. I'm just the baseball girly. So I will just be in all of the baseball rooms, but it's a lot of fun. Go check it out. All of the teams for the Astros are very cool, obviously, like Tom said, but we're the coolest. And we will see you, I think, what, Sunday? No, the 28th. That is our next actual game. Side note, Tom, we got to get on to the May schedules. We got to do that. Stick around after this. With that said, guys, I need you to like this episode. I need you to subscribe to the YouTubes. I need you to tell all of your friends to subscribe to the YouTubes. Okay, it helps the algorithm. We love that. Please give us a 5-star rating, all of the nice words in a review. Again, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate, just is hysterical, nose ball. That's just 4 words, very easy. Okay. And with that, we are going to wrap up and we will say, yay, baseball.